Okay, let's look at some more of these gospel misunderstandings or unbiblical opinions that are prevalent in some areas. We're going to continue on where we had left off in the previous lesson. It was about what gospel was preached at Philippi. What gospel did Paul preach at Philippi? So let's take a look to start off here with, we'll look at Acts chapter 18, verse 22. And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. Now Acts 18:22 was not the beginning of the gospel, but it was about the temple vision, with Christ telling Paul that there would be a beginning of the gospel committed to Paul in the future, which happened in, let's say we read in Acts 18:22, it happened in Acts 20, verse 6, being the beginning of the gospel as stated in Philippians 4:15. Paul even later told about his temple vision, and that's where we get the information about it. It happened in Acts 18:22, but the information he tells us about it is in Acts 22, verses 17 to through verse 21. And we read that in the last lesson. It's we'll go on. But just there is a sequence of these three chapters, not consecutive chapters either, in Acts 18. Here are the three chapters without the verses, actually. Just the chapter number so you can get the sequence. In Acts 18, Christ told Paul in his temple vision that shortly he would send him to all men. In Acts 20, Paul received that sending at the beginning of the gospel when he departed from Philippi, Macedonia. And in Acts 22, Paul testified to King Agrippa and to us about that temple vision which he had, and it had been in back in Acts 18, chapter 18, was when he actually saw the vision of the Lord. And the information given him then of going to all men, and I believe that's when he got the information that, how do you say it, Christ sent me not to baptize. Up until then, there was a continuation of the previous practice to baptize believers. And that's explained in 1 Corinthians 1, chapter 1. So those Bible facts show that before Acts 18, the gospel of Christ was already being preached by Paul from at least Acts 13 through the beginning of the gospel in Acts 20. Paul received of Christ the ministry to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And he tells us about it. Acts 20, 18 verses after he was sailed away from Philippi, Macedonia, 18 verses later, he tells us that he received this ministry to testify the gospel of the grace of God, which is different from the gospel of Christ only in regard to its wider audience, target audience, being to all men. And it is different in regard to the time of its start and finish, but it's not different in regard to its content, its saving message. Christ died for your sins. Believe on him to life everlasting. Paul established his mode of operation, his manner, as it's called in Scripture, through unbroken repetition. The scriptural accounts, they're sometimes specific and sometimes non-specific, but whenever they're specific, they always tell that Paul always ascertained whether his audience had heard and believed the gospel of God before he would preach to them the gospel of Christ, the gospel of salvation. In the following verse list, you can see that progression. You can see it in Rome, Philippi, Thessalonica, Corinth, and then in Ephesus. Here are the verses. Won't take long. If you're writing them down, good. But if you're just listening, hang on. We'll get further. We'll get past this. In Rome, we see that the gospel of God comes before the gospel of Christ. In Romans 1:1-4, coming before Romans 1:16. In Philippi, there are five headings here. That Rome was one. Philippi is the second. Acts 16, verses 14 to 15. And Acts 16, verses 30 to 34. Of course, Paul confirms or verifies which gospel he ended up preaching that saved them. In Philippians 1:27, he says, behave in, I forget the exact wording, but let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ, the gospel that they were saved by. In Thessalonica, the third, that would be Acts 17, verses 2 and 3, is the gospel of God given to them, preached to them. And 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 2, 8, and 9, all verify that the gospel of God was preached to them first in Thessalonica. And then when you read 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 1 to 7, you find that they later heard and believed the gospel of Christ, the gospel of salvation. Fourthly, in Corinth, Acts 18, verses 4 and 5, Paul preached, I think it says, preached unto them Jesus. In other words, who Jesus was, his identity, his name, the name of Jesus that they had failed to believe. Let's see, then after that, verses 7 through 11, he departed from the synagogue, and he separated out those that believed and met with them in the house, joined hard against the synagogue, and because of the proximity and signs being for the Jews requiring a sign, there were many signs recorded in Corinth in Paul's meeting in Corinth, in that house built hard against the synagogue, right next to it, or as part of it, like a duplex, actually, from the wording. Fifthly, lastly, in Ephesus. Now, this would be Ephesus pre-epistle, before the epistle of the Ephesians was written. In the Acts period, in other words, in Acts 18, verses 19 and 28, show the gospel of God. And then in Acts 20:24, it's the first mention of the gospel of the grace of God, which is the same content as the gospel of Christ. So, preached the gospel of God, identity of Jesus, before he preached the gospel of salvation, how to be saved. Alright, let's go on to another topic. Does God's meaning differ from the words on the page? So they'll say, well, it says that, but it means this. Oh, yeah? It's if you stand back and look at it, or sit back and look at it, they're saying, I believe me more than I believe God. Or I believe the people that told me, I believe man more than God. Some people think we are privately interpreting the right division verses in opposition to God's meaning of the rest of Scripture. They say things like, I see the verses, but I don't believe they mean what you are saying. It's because of their preconceived ideas and those of their mentors that they don't believe the wording of the verses shown them on the pages of the Bible. That's pure and simple. And I hope it's obvious to everybody. That's the conclusion of that topic. Next, the 12th topic. is a matter of keeping the context and the sequence of the writings. Understanding, you know, if God said you can eat everything that you can catch, so to speak, that's not, what is the word? I was going to say supplanting, but it's not negating what God told Moses that the children of Israel, they should not eat pork, not eat cat, you know, the law. You have to consider the timing, when something is written, when each thing is written. And when Paul, you know, says all things are, I forget, clean if taken with thanksgiving. That's not the way he said it. I better look it up. Hold on. Get myself into these. Let's see if that's First Thessalonians. Must be Timothy. 4:4-5. There's one. Here's the other. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused. In other words, as it had been refused, pork, etc., because of the prohibition to it in the law. Nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. It is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. So you can't say that that's the way it was for Noah or for Adam. You know, you have to take them in sequence. In Acts 18, when Paul First Thessalonians was written by him, he was looking back at the events that happened in Acts 17 when he wrote First Thessalonians. Not only to his own preaching the gospel of God in Thessalonica in Acts 17 verses 2 to 5, but he was also looking back to the events that Timothy had reported back about, as Paul noted in 1 Thessalonians 3 verses 6 and 7. That they had believed the gospel of salvation finally when they heard it. So when Paul wrote 1 Thessalonians, he had all that information already given to him at his, you know, use. He wasn't focusing on just his time in Thessalonica in Acts 17. It included his knowledge that they did eventually hear and believe the gospel. And notice that Paul calls the gospel of salvation our gospel. In other words, other places he calls it my gospel, but in this case it's our gospel, as if he's not the only one preaching it now. He had sent Timothy, and he calls him his fellow in the gospel of Christ. Let me look that up too. That's 1 Thessalonians 3, to our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ. So it's our gospel. Paul, when Peter, in other words, when Timothy went there to Thessalonica and preached to them the gospel of salvation, it was no less valid or important than when if Paul himself had come there and preached it. Same thing today when we preach it. It's just as valid because it's God's gospel. It's Christ's gospel. The gospel of the grace of God. Paul included his fellowship, fellowship with Timothy, his calling him his fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ when identifying the gospel of salvation, referring to it as our gospel. And that was the gospel of salvation that those Thessalonians were saved by when Timothy went back and ministered it to them. This ministry I have received of the Lord to testify the gospel of the grace of God. In 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 4 through 8, is often quoted or read in churches, Paul said that the Thessalonians had been elected or chosen. God, they chose God. How did they choose God? Well, how did the Jews reject God by rejecting the gospel of God, the gospel of who he is, that he's the Son of God. He's not the Son of God. They didn't think he was the Son of God. He is, though. The Son of God, the Messiah, risen from the dead. So, Paul said that the Thessalonians had chosen God by our gospel. They had believed the gospel instead of rejecting it, the gospel of God, which came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. At that time, the gospel that was the power of God unto salvation was the gospel of Christ. And you can tell from the context when he goes beyond, when he adds, that's not it either, when he's talking about the gospel of God and who Jesus is, when he goes beyond that to those who already believe the gospel of God and he tells them how to be saved, the gospel of salvation. You can tell that point in his summaries and in his wording of the verses. Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, the gospel of Christ, is the power of God unto salvation. It's God's power to save people. He uses that gospel, the gospel of Christ, to save people that he wants to save. And he wants to save everyone, but only the believers. It's to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And that part is dropped when he sends them to all people, just like according to the scriptures is dropped from the 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, Gospel of Christ. Let me just get a sip here, hold on. Paul's not saying that he preached the gospel of Christ to them in Acts 17. That would have been a contradictory statement. Paul was saying that the Thessalonians were saved when they heard and believed the gospel of Christ from Timothy, after Paul sent him back in 1 Thessalonians 3:1-2. Let's look at those verses. 1 Thessalonians 3, wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. And we know from Romans 16, verses 25 and 26, that establishment is three stages to being established. The first stage is to be saved. But that's not all there is. That's all there is to being saved. I mean, you're saved, you're saved. But being established is, it's like in the verse in 1 Timothy 2:4. God's will that all should be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So the rest of establishment is not just to be saved, but to the wording. it's slipping my mind. The preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, not according to prophecy, but according to the revelation of the mystery, and then the understanding of what God had prophesied, the rest of the scripture, in other words, the rest of the Bible, the scriptures of the prophets made known. That's in verse 26. But four verses later, Paul reports to have heard back from Timothy, after he sent him, heard back that the Thessalonians heard and believed the gospel of Christ, that Timothy ministered to them as Paul's fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ. Let's look at that. 1 Thessalonians 3:6, but now, when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity and that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. That's what he was urgent about, getting back to them with the rest of the story. I mean, he had told them who Jesus was, and they, you know, after 3 weeks, how long does it take usually to persuade a Jew that Jesus is the Messiah? You think you can do it in 3 weeks? 3 one-hour meetings, Sabbath day meetings? Well, that's what his manner was, according to Acts 17:2-3. So, by the Acts 18 writing of 1 Thessalonians, Paul knew Timothy's good tidings of their faith, that the Thessalonians had believed Timothy's ministering to them of the gospel of God. And Paul reported that the Thessalonians had been saved in 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 6 and 7, they weren't saved earlier than that in 1 Thessalonians 2 or chapter 1. They weren't saved in Acts 17, verses 1 to 10, when he preached to them the gospel of God. And they weren't saved earlier between Acts 17, verse 15, and Acts 18, verse 5. The events and times statements that some people misconstrue when you look at the rest of this context that we've been looking at. The Thessalonians weren't saved in those verses, put it that way. In other words, when Paul first sat down to start writing 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1, some of the verses that matter here, verse 1, verse 5, verse 9, verse 10, when he sat down to start writing that, he already knew that they had believed, they had finally come to believe, our gospel, the gospel of Christ, preached to them by Timothy, under Paul's direction, Paul's fellow laboring, and Paul's sending, in 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 2. Well, let's go on. The gospel of Christ, my gospel, and our gospel. In Romans 1, verse 16, Paul names the gospel of Christ as Christ's saving gospel at that time, of which he's not ashamed. In other words, Paul claims the gospel of Christ as his life changer. It didn't make him ashamed. It saved him, in other words. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. Paul's next mention of his life-changing gospel is to refer to it as my gospel, by which God will judge between who is not saved and who is saved and delivered from the wrath to come. Romans 2:16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. So, Paul calls the gospel of Christ my gospel in several places. When Paul and his associates went from synagogue to synagogue in the book of Acts there, in the middle part of it, their manner would be to preach the gospel of God before preaching the gospel of Christ. And you can see that in the text time after time. They would preach the gospel of Christ to those who had first believed the gospel of God. Paul referred to the gospel of Christ that he and his associates preached as our gospel. And you can see that in 2 Thessalonians, verse 2. Let me read that again. The reference is 2 Timothy 2:14. And it's an important verse because it tells us what God's calling is, and how God calls us, whereunto he called you by our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. The obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ only comes from believing the gospel of Christ, gospel of the grace of God, to give you life everlasting. And of course, there are other verses that talk about the everlasting life or the eternal life, and they're all in concert, in what do you call it, in agreement with each other, that it's by trusting only that Christ died for my sins, died for your sins, and that he rose the third day, that being for our justification. Okay, any questions or comments or corrections? This is the time. The gospel of Christ is the same message as the gospel of the grace of God. And I believe it's the same message as the gospel of the uncircumcision. Although I don't find that gospel listed. It's talked about, but define, what's the word? Laid out? What is it? When we talk about the gospel of God, and then we look at Romans 1, verses 1 through 4, it says, this is the gospel of God. And it gives those three things, that he's the Son of God, the Messiah, risen from the dead. You look in Mark 1, 14 and 15, it says, they went out and preached the gospel of the kingdom. And then it goes on to say, when they preached the gospel of the kingdom, they were saying this, the kingdom is at hand. So it gives them, it tells exactly what that gospel is. Galatians 3:8, Abraham. The gospel was before, was preached unto Abraham. And then it tells what that gospel was that was preached to him. It's not believe that Christ died for your sins and you'll be saved. It's through you shall all nations of the world be blessed. That's going to be after we in this mystery program of Christ have been taken to heaven. That'll be when Christ comes back at least 7 years later after we've gone to heaven. And he comes back and rules the earth in the 1,000-year reign. Cleans up the mess from the tribulation.